Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Alan Levy Show at blogtalkradio.com. Be prepared to call in now and chat with Alan and his very special guest right here at blogtalkradio.com. With no more further ado, please welcome your host, Mr. Alan Levy.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to be with you today, as I do on most afternoons, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. This is the Alan Levy Show. You're hearing it live on blogtalkradio.com, and you can hear the archive of the show in a number of places. You can hear it at blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy. It's January 10th, and we're very excited today. We have Brian Clark. He'll be our guest. But first, I'd like to bring in my co-host, Hillary. How are you?
Hi, Alan. How are you? I like when you say bring in. I feel like I jumped in from behind a desk.
Right. Hillary's in L.A. and I'm in New Jersey, so she's just coming right into the office. We're going into our studio, and she's on air. So.
Exactly.
And Hillary, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. It's another sunny day in Los Angeles and just working away on Blog Talk Radio and happy to have another great show this week.
Yes, we are. And we're going to get into this in a moment with Brian. We're going to talk with Brian Clark. But first, we have to announce that we have a very special guest on Blog Talk Radio tomorrow, and one I'm really excited about. Why don't you, since that came through your office, let everyone know.
Sure. Yoko Ono is going to be on tomorrow, which is pretty huge. If you guys don't know who she is, you know,
yeah,
she was
come on. We don't have to go there. Hillary, no, not necessary.
The point is, she's huge, and we're really excited. She's going to be on tomorrow. She's actually on our homepage right now, if you could check her out. But she's going to be on the show called BTR Today. So if you go to blogtalkradio.com/BTR Today, that's the host channel. And it's on at, I believe, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Excellent.
Tomorrow night. So it should be great.
We're excited about that. So why don't we get into our show for today? Brian Clark is our guest, and Brian is an internet marketing strategist, content developer, entrepreneur, and, as he indicates, a recovering attorney. In addition, he's built three successful online businesses using various marketing techniques. He's also writes the blog Copy Blogger, which is one of the top blogs, and it's a real success. Brian's a real success story on the internet. And how are you, Brian?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me, Alan.
Good. Well, that's nice to hear, and it's our pleasure to have you on our show today. And
well, it is kind of a letdown, you know, preceding the Yoko Ono show.
But well,
I'm looking at the homepage, and I said, you know, you're right on the same nav bar as Yoko Ono and John Voight, and now Brian Clark. I'm sure those
exactly.
Are,
something doesn't fit there, but I'll go ahead and I'll take it.
and if you continue to scroll on our homepage, you'll see Miss America, who's also been a guest over the last day or two. We're very diverse in content here, but
obviously,
as an online community and website, Blog Talk Radio is very excited to have you on, and I'm glad you're on again. You were on a show early part of the year, is that right?
You know, I'm trying to remember. I did several with Scott Baradell,
right?
And we did a little Dallas marketing show with some local people, which I thought was kind of ironic because, you know, generally our audiences are all over the place. We just all happen to live in Dallas. So that was the idea behind it. It was a lot of fun. So that was my introduction to Blog Talk Radio, and I think it's a great service.
Well, thank you very much. So let's talk about Copy Blogger. But before we do, can you just give our listeners a bit of background? And I'd just like to say, if anyone would like to call into the show, we're going to take calls later in the show. It's 347-677-0649. We also have the chat room working, and if you have a question for Brian, please put it in the chat, and we'll try to fit it in.
Okay, so you want the long story? Or
no, the short, the micro version, the Twitter version.
Kind of summed it up.
A little longer than Twitter, a little longer than Twitter.
Yes, I did go to law school. I did graduate. I pretty much knew right then I didn't want to practice law. I did anyway, like a lot of people who incur tens of thousands of dollars in student loans to do that.
Right.
But yeah, I knew pretty much right away that that law wasn't going to be the long-term plan. I graduated from law school in 94, and that's right about the time the commercial internet kicked in. And just from day one, you know, I was never a big computer guy. I actually made it all the way through college and law school without owning a computer. I know that sounds ridiculous today, but think about 86 to 94. It was just a different time, you know. I mean, use computers, but you didn't necessarily own one. And now I've got seven, I think. I don't
know. Seven, okay. You're not into recycling, I guess.
Exactly.
It's a museum. It's a computer museum.
Yeah.
You could actually copy the content on one computer, put it on another hard drive external, and copy it onto the other one.
Yeah, exactly. You know, then you've got the BlackBerries and everything else. But
yeah,
totally different. But, you know, from the beginning where the reason I bought my first PC was to get online, you know, and back in those days, the internet was a totally different place. And, you know, a lot of people didn't understand the difference between America Online and the real internet, you know, and they didn't really feel a need to distinguish it. So we've come a long way. But right from the beginning, I was just fascinated with it. It seemed to me that you could really have any kind of life you wanted if, you know, you were able to reach the right people and make money that way. So I always kind of had a commercial eye towards the internet in that regard. So for about 3 years, from 94 to 97, I was just paying attention to what was going on, trying to learn things, and by the time 98 came around, the dot-com thing was really starting to bubble up, and I quit my big law firm job, moved to Austin, didn't have much of a plan, but I knew a lot about internet marketing at that point just from observing, and I kind of got involved in the Austin technology scene, ironically, both as a lawyer advising startups and as a marketing consulting advising startups. You know, talk about switching hats, but it was just a strange period of time. A lot of the older lawyers didn't understand the internet at all, so I would get business even though I was a young guy, and almost no one really understood the dynamics of what was going on, you know, as far as marketing online. And that's where I began to develop a content-oriented marketing strategy. I would always use valuable content as an attraction and persuasion strategy to drum up new business, and it's always worked for me. And like you mentioned at the beginning, I built offline businesses completely with online marketing, and that was the part I really loved, was the online marketing part. So after a while, I just kind of cashed out of everything offline and went completely online in 2005, and at the beginning of 2006, I started CopyBlogger as a way to basically become part of the scene. You know, I've always been behind the scenes, and I liked it that way. But I figured if we're going to have another big internet wave, which, you know, it seems like we're in the middle of, I wanted to become a participant in that. And the rest, you kind of know.
It's history. And your business is actually what? Like, I know that you provide consulting services, and you provide a huge amount of content on your web in terms of on your site for copywriting help, and it's a tremendous site and one of the top blogs. It's copyblogger.com for our audience
right.
that doesn't know.
Well,
so
yeah,
what is your business?
My basic business model for the last 3 years has been to identify, you know, niche areas and build websites in order to either develop, you know, regular income from those websites or to go ahead and sell the site. So it's kind of a haphazard movie producer style life where you go from project to project.
Yeah.
Some things work and some things you sell and some things you hold on to. Coming into 2008 with the growth of CopyBlogger, Me and a partner of mine just launched another site called Teaching Sells, which is a membership site, basically off of CopyBlogger, because it was kind of complimentary content. So that's really become the focus of my business now. You know, CopyBlogger wasn't ever supposed to be a business. It was just a way to join in the conversation, and now it's developing into a business of its own. So probably I'll stop juggling so many projects going forward and just try to develop them, both Copy Blogger and Teaching Sales, into more of a true business.
What have you found to be the most difficult challenge for new companies, whether they're offline companies looking to get more of a presence online, or companies that are establishing themselves online to get, you know, mind share, to get visibility, to get traction, and it not just, you know, for one hit wonder, but get sustainable traction over time, which is certainly
right.
A challenge.
I think the biggest challenge, and you'll see this repeated, you know, everywhere you look these days, and it's really not a new concept. It's an old concept, but it's basically companies have to learn how to provide something that other people value instead of simply saying, buy our stuff. And for some people, that just comes naturally, and for others, it's just the most alien thing in the world. But the hard truth is, especially online, there's so much noise, there's so much going on, you know, trying to attract attention and hold on to it, as you said, not just a one-hit wonder, but actually have people pay attention to you over time, so that if you are selling something they're interested in, you'll be in a position to do that. And the key to that, you know, it dates back to, I guess in the internet era, to what Seth Godin called permission marketing. It's giving someone something, in my experience, it's been valuable content that creates a subscription situation. I mean, they're basically giving you permission to continue contacting them with new stuff. And in between all that valuable content that you give them, you know, you'll have the opportunity and you'll have their trust to actually sell them something. So to use an example, you know, I blogged on Copy Blogger for about 18 months before I really ever tried to sell anyone anything, which was the new site, Teaching Sells. And we launched that, and it's got almost 1,000 paying members in less than 3 months. So it was a large investment of time. But, you know, I was basically developing Copy Blogger in my spare time. I would write a couple articles a week, you know, and I was practicing what I preach. You know, the gist of Copy Blogger, in one aspect of it, is if you apply certain techniques to your content, you'll get more attention, you'll get more links, you know, you'll get more subscribers. So when I began the blog, I said, you know, if you're going to try to teach people that, you better practice what you preach. I mean, anyone can look and see if you're succeeding at your own advice, right? Which is one of the ironic things about social media. It's really hard to claim that you're an expert, you know, at certain things if people can check, for example, your Technorati rank. You know, I mean, you're a blogging expert and your Technorati rank is 150,000. You know, some people may
no
say,
yeah.
You lack credibility, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Well, we see the same thing. When Blog Talk Radio has a platform, we've produced 46,000 shows and 2 million listeners now in December. But when I go to other companies, because it's a white label, we sell white label solutions for Blog Talk Radio. We help companies get more engagement, and that's what we've done. And we've built
right.
engagement on this website and a social community around conversations that take place. So I feel very good. I don't use any PowerPoints when I pitch Blog Talk Radio to a major company. I say, are you looking for more engagement? Well, here's a way. Look what we've done with it. And that's
yeah.
what you're saying. But what
yeah,
I'd like to then...
exactly right.
Right. So what I'd like to, though, mention is that there's so many sites with great content, but what really triggered your growth, you know, from really obscurity? I mean, you launched in 06 in Austin, which is okay. It's a hotbed of technology. And
I was in Dallas.
I've been in Dallas. But how
yeah,
did you get to be? How did you? It's what did you do? Did you work with Dig? Did you what kind of things did you tools did you implement to get you to the point? Is it just pure qualitative posting and
right.
content?
Yeah, I've never spent a dime on advertising. The only money I've invested in Copy Blogger was probably the smartest money, which was working with Chris Pearson, who's my designer and occasional business partner. But he designed, you know, a really cutting edge look for Copy Blogger, and then we took it another step farther this last year. And I'm a word guy, you know, so of course I'm a snob who thinks that people want to read what I have to say no matter what. But then I knew better than that, and I know that presentation matters. So that was one smart thing I did, but that's really the only money I've invested in the site. And because I found Chris Pearson as a young unknown designer who's now like a rock star designer, I got a great deal. So
that's great.
But yeah, it's really the content, and again, it's the practice what you preach thing. I mean, the blog in part is about creating content that gets attention and helps you build an audience. So, you know, some of the things that we discuss are your titles, or, you know, the analogous situation in copywriting is a headline. You know, it could be a newspaper headline, or it could be a headline on an advertisement, but the function is the same. It's designed to catch attention and to make a promise to someone that says, hey, if you read this article or you read whatever, you're going to get some benefit out of it. So, you know, that's a big thing. That's one of the hugest things that can determine whether or not you're successful as a blogger is your ability to write good headlines.
Definitely. I see your top most popular posts, popular articles on your site, and they're exactly what you're talking about, actual concrete things you could take away and skills that will improve your blog writing. But as an English major, I have a question. How much of it is just good writing, and how much of it is specific to blogging? Do you think a lot of it is just skills about writing well that a lot of people don't think
yes,
they need to bring
absolutely.
To blogging?
Yeah, I mean, blogging, that's what's interesting to me, because when I looked at, okay, what should you do? What kind of site should you start to, you know, kind of, like I said, join in here and make a name for yourself so you can do other interesting projects? And I just looked, and I'm like, all these bloggers think this is some revolutionary skill set, but really it's just, you know, all this stuff dates back even hundreds of years, if not more. It's solid writing, but it's also a certain style of writing. You know, you wouldn't write... necessarily, you wouldn't write a novel in the same way that you would write from a copywriting standpoint. So, you know, a good article and a good blog post shouldn't really be any different. And my background, when I first started getting online and publishing in the 90s, I published e-zines, which were then, that was the big craze at the time. Just emails, basically, but... you know, it was still a publishing strategy, and I was just fascinated that, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever interviewed Chris Perillo of Locker Gnome. He's, you know,
Chris Perillo is going to be on my show in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say I've known Chris intimately over the years, but, we've run in the same circles for, I guess it's almost 10 years now. But yeah, his Locker Gnome e-zine way back when was an inspiration to me, because I just thought it was so fascinating that you could send out an email with an ad in it and collect thousands of dollars. I just thought, I was like, wow, that's amazing to me, you know, and he was really successful at that. And of course you see what a major player Chris is in the blogging world, because he just took the skills that he developed in the e-zine world and transferred it over to blogging, which in my opinion and a lot of other people's opinion is a much more powerful medium because of links, you know, the interlinking that goes on between bloggers. Back when you're publishing email, no one's going to link to you. I used to have to beg Chris to link to me, right?
Right.
Now if you write something interesting, people just link to you automatically. I mean, it's not that you can't do any promotional work behind the scenes and you can't. You need to have relationships just like in anything else. But once you get some momentum going, it can be pretty powerful in blogging.
Let's take a call. We have 330 area code. You're on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, guys. This is Luke Armour.
Hi, Luke.
Hi, Luke.
Hi, Brian. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Luke. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on to Blog Talk Radio. I do have a question. In addition to being the PR coordinator for Blog Talk Radio, I'm also an avid blogger and really interested in, you know, the opposition that PR and legal often get into, you know, with PR saying, you need to do this, you need to tell the truth, and legal saying, no, hold on a minute here, we need to make sure you're not saying anything wrong. Has your background in law ever come into play when you're consulting for something as simple as copywriting for blogs?
Right. I'm sorry, you cut out in the just a tad in the middle of before the end of your sentence there, and I lost it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to know, has your background in law had any effect on you and in your consulting business, helping people translate, you know, words into a blog that avoids the legal problems
Right. Well, first of all, I don't think I've taken a consulting project in almost 8-9 months. I've been really bad about that because I don't have time, and then I find out that my own projects are always more profitable than working for other people. So, but in general, to answer your question, one good thing about me was that I saw most of the caution surrounding, you know, every little thing is a legal landmine. I found a lot of that ridiculous, and perhaps that's why I didn't enjoy the practice of law. But if you look around in blogging, I mean, you know, people play fast and loose with a lot of things and generally don't get in trouble. I mean, you know, you do see people that get in trouble for copyright violations, and certainly there can be situations where you cross a line and you've libeled or slandered someone. But other than big issues like that, if you know, I think a common sense approach generally will get you by. But I understand what you're saying. A lot of larger companies are scared to death, you know,
right,
of putting anyone out there, and certainly for them to be candid about anything. And I think that's really holding them back. But if everything has to go through legal before you can post, you're pretty much dead in the water. You're going to need another strategy.
Right. All right. Very good.
Well, thanks for calling, Luke.
Yep, thank you.
Before the call came on, we talked a little about this, you know, the San Francisco crowd, which is really more focused on the tech blogging crowd.
Right.
And you're not certainly from that area. And, you know, when you first got into blogging, what did you think about when you heard about the A-list? And what do you think about the A-list today as you're now one of the top bloggers?
I think it's changed quite a bit. yes, you know, blogging was heavily tech-dominated. You know, guys like Scoble and Dave Weiner, they all started blogging very early. And I think there seemed to be some sort of an idea that blogging was synonymous with tech, and of course that started to change, and I think the most interesting things that are happening in blogging are not in tech at all, but are rather in all the various other subject matter areas that anyone might want to read about. There were exceptions to that, and I think you'll notice some changes. For example, the tech bloggers live and die for tech meme. You know, I mean, they literally try to outrank one another on the little leaderboard and all that stuff. And then you see people saying, oh, well, technorati doesn't matter anymore. Well, they started saying that because you started seeing bloggers from all across the spectrum easing up the charts while the tech bloggers were dropping. I just think that's natural. I don't think that's not an indictment of technology bloggers at all. I think technology bloggers might talk to each other a little bit too much, and that may be limiting the overall audience. But bloggers in other subject matter areas are talking to the audience, and that's why their audiences are growing much faster.
I think also the tech bloggers are using Twitter all day long.
They do, and again, a lot of those said, well, blogging's dead and this and that, and I disagree, but, you know, anyone is free to do whatever they want to, and if they want to tweet all day long, then they can.
Well, one of the things that well, we have another call, so why don't we take another call, and we'll see what they have to say. 754, you're on Blog Talk Radio. 754? Nah, maybe someone just listening in. They were on the switchboard. But that's one of the things that I was just so impressed about what you've accomplished. Apart from the fact that your writing is a lost art, I love to write myself. And as I was building Blog Talk Radio, I would write all the blog posts that we had and wrote most of the copy on the first website. And now I continue to write all of our pitch letters. We must have sent a million emails to do outreach and say, hey, you want to try this wacky little service we've got going here? Writing is a lost art, but it's not to you, and you've really embraced it, and you're helping people write copy, and
right.
So,
did you
always have this passion for writing? Is that something that was just something paramount for you?
You know, writing to me has always been a tool, and I think I kind of take that approach. You know, you need to have a goal in mind, and writing, words in general, are one of the most powerful things we have to making things happen. And that's another thing about the copywriting angle, which is it's generally focused on people taking action as opposed to just content, which can be, you know, viewed as something that takes up space. And again, when I looked at somewhere I could add value in the blogging world, that's what I saw, because people were writing, they just weren't necessarily writing well. So I just thought that there was an area here where you could help people maybe write a little bit better, but also write in a manner that is designed not only to catch attention, but to get people to take action, whether that be to buy something or to subscribe to the blog or whatever that may be. So it's just a more reader-focused approach. You know, so I really see it as one very important tool in your overall toolbox, especially if you're trying to build a business or whatnot online. But ironically, my new project, Teaching Sales, is based on the premise that, hey, most people don't read, which is ironic to hear from someone who has a popular copywriting blog, but it's still true. And I guess the lesson underneath that is, it doesn't matter what format you're in, whether or not you're giving a live presentation, you're doing a video, you're doing a podcast, the words still matter. What you say and how you say it is the most important thing. And I love the fact that we're moving towards more authentic communications, and yet, you know, people would be silly to think that you can just approach this type of stuff willy-nilly without having an idea what to say and how to say it in any of these mediums. So I think we'll see the web move more and more towards multimedia. And again, you seem to be with your finger right on that with Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah,
speaking of multimedia, it's maybe a good time to ask about, you know, what your interest in, you know, audio and video components to your blog and that kind of thing, and if you could talk a little bit about your Teaching Sells, which, as I understand, is basically, you know, explaining and giving lessons on how to increase, you know, the popularity of your blog and all these different qualities of a
right.
good blog, you know.
Well, Teaching Sells is mainly about creating, you know, multimedia content, and by that I mean multi-formats, you know, using whatever media format is appropriate for a piece of content, as opposed to, oh, I just do everything in video, or I just do everything in audio.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a multi-format approach, and it's also designed to teach people how to create and position content that's actually worth paying for. I mean, we're in an environment where a lot of people are starting to think that everything is free, and it's not necessarily. So that was the big move behind that. So it's interesting to watch over time and see how things shift. You know, one thing that I know from observing history is that the only thing that's inevitable is change, and things generally zig back the other way from what you think is the norm. But so far, I've done not too much audio and video stuff on Copyblogger itself, because, you know, for the first 2 years, I wanted to concentrate on the actual fundamentals of writing. You know, whether you're writing a blog post or you're creating a script for a video or an outline for a podcast, it's the same thought process. It's just a different medium.
Sure.
Well, we'd love to get you into Blog Talk Radio if you're ever ready to embark in this very easy medium, which is, well, we wanted to focus on conversational marketing. I mean, I didn't know the term conversational marketing, and of course it's now everywhere you look as conversational marketing.
Right, which is actually a very old concept in copywriting. You know, the guys in the 1920s and 30s would try to write in a manner that was part story and part conversation to the person reading it. It was terribly effective. And then, you know, 80 years later, we think we've got something new. It's not necessarily new, but it is in a very dynamic environment. So it's really a fascinating, you know, all-around topic.
It is. And who are some of the top blogs that you read? I mean, who are your, you know, in your RSS feed?
Let's see. I've had to. I'm not like the type who reads 400 or 1,000 feeds. I don't even understand what the point of that is.
Okay.
So
hence Robert Scoble, who we talked about earlier, who has, I don't know, 6,000.
I can appreciate that he does that, but it's not for me. But, you know, I try to keep up with things that are relevant to the topics that I write about. I mean, I'll pay attention to, you know, all the top copywriting bloggers, but also a bunch of e-learning bloggers, because, you know, that's a movement where they're using content and learning psychology to actually produce more engaging content. And you're starting to get all these software tools that make it possible to create stuff that would cost you $60,000 just 5 years ago, you know, at the corporate level. So I think you'll see a lot of movement in online content that starts to, you know, when it moves more to multimedia, it's going to be kind of like the blogging revolution was for the normal guy. I mean, you didn't need to know how to build a website. That's what made blogging such a democratic function, and that's why it exploded. When I had to try to build HTML web pages back in the 90s, I would, but I just wasn't very good at it.
Right.
So, you know, that's why I don't do any design, because I know what I can do and what I can't do. But I think we'll find that some of these software tools that are coming out now, kind of led by the corporate e-learning and training worlds, are going to make it into the hands of regular people, and they're going to realize, hey, if I'm going to stand out, I need to do something different. So, and then I read a lot of the top marketing bloggers. I read Seth Godin religiously, but, you know, I've been paying attention to him for years. I read a little bit of SEO here, a lot about social media, you know.
Okay.
But I try to keep it to, I think I've only got 54 feeds right now.
Okay, that's a reasonable.
Which is funny, because saying only 54, you know,
yeah,
I read 54 things on a daily basis sounds, you know, I sound like a slacker in the blogger world. Really.
Okay, we've made news. Brian Clark admitted to being a slacker.
Exactly.
Hey,
well,
we got,
it helps you.
Looking for a soundbite. You know, we have to draw attention to the show.
Well, you know, I mean, if you spend your whole day reading feeds, you don't get anything done. You know, and
you can't write anything.
I would say at least part of my success is attributed to actually getting something done.
let's take another call and see if this caller will come on. 239, you're on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Brian. This is John calling from Naples, Florida.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. A question for you. I belong to your teaching sales. I have been maybe about 3 weeks into it. Plenty of information, very well done. But I'm very good at what I do, which is in the golf world, and I do not want to become a blogger and spend the time to become a copywriter and all the things that you are. How does somebody go about putting a team together that is capable of doing what you're doing with Copy Blogger and your teaching sales? Where would you get started at?
Right. Well, a good place, as far as teaching sales goes, one interesting thing about that program is we tell people that you don't have to spend 2 years blogging like I did in order to launch one of these membership sites. You just have to have a very, you know, strategic approach to what you do and pick the right topics and all that.
Right.
But other than that, a lot of the people who are in teaching sales, again, we've almost got 1,000 people in there, and that was better than we expected to get started. So we're very pleased with that. But one of the things that's really started to happen is the members, because we have forums, you know, for everything. I don't know if you've been to the forum section yet, but there's a joint venture section there where, you know, I've seen someone with every skill set volunteer their services or looking for a partner, whether, you know, you want to do it on an hourly basis or whatnot. And I think that's pretty valuable because, of course, I know people that build teams all the time and they just do it the old-fashioned way. It could be Craigslist. It could be Elance, you know, But the hard part about that is, you know, is this person any good, and do they understand what I'm talking about? So one of the valuable things, and it's hard to express, you know, to people who haven't joined yet, but when you get into these private interactive communities, the members get more value from each other sometimes than they actually get from me. You know, but that's all part of the deal, and that's what's so amazing about it, because you don't have an open forum where you have a bunch of crazy people saying crazy things. You know, it's all serious people who've paid money to be there, and they're ready to do business with one another. So that's one suggestion, because at least anyone, say, for example, there's a lot of freelance writers that are teaching sales members. So just put the word out in there and start talking to people, because at least you know that they're coming from the same place you are.
Right.
And not having to explain the very basic stuff to them. There's several copywriters, lots of freelance writers. There's hardcore development guys who build websites but probably couldn't write, you know, anything to save their lives. So everyone in there is looking for other people to work with. So I would suggest taking advantage of the forums, because there's a lot of different talent that's involved.
Right. The only problem I've had is trying to find out who really knows what they're doing. I've spent a tremendous amount of money with, you know, people that have had a success or hit a home run 5 years ago, and they played that same story over and over again. So you know, you think they can help you, and haven't really found anybody that can back up what they're saying yet. So,
right. No, it's tough, and I face the same challenges. And basically, every project I do, I'll end up partnering with someone. I usually am very careful about who I choose to work with, because, you know, given the kind of development work we do, you're going to be working very closely with that person. And you can rely on that person in a way that an outsourced relationship is not quite the same. I mean, you can hire someone to ghostwrite for you or consult with you, but it's not quite the same as when that person has their own skin in the game. So I've always liked that model, and generally what I have to look for is just someone who can do all the things I can't. You know, and generally that's design and that's site building, the whole technical side of things. I'm technically competent, but you don't want me doing it. You know, I don't want me doing it.
No, and I understand it's kind of like trying to build your own house. Sure, I mean, I actually can do that, but it would take me probably 6 or 7 years to do it.
Right, exactly. That's the most efficient way to go about it.
Right.
One thing I suggest, I mean, you certainly can do a show on Blog Talk Radio. We've had actually Tom Fazio on, and we're reaching out to Arnold Palmer, and he's going to come on the network after the Bay Hill Classic. So,
well, I have a
great way to promote.
A unique story that I would very much love to get on there that would be interesting to everybody, even if they're not golfers.
Well, feel free to join, and it's open. We have 4,500 active hosts doing shows. We produce, we've aired, let's say, 300 live today and 47,000 since we've launched. So welcome aboard and come in, and you can put a little flash player on your blog. You can talk about your show, bring guests on, just like we're doing here with Brian, and you're welcome to come on and be part of our community, and it's growing and it's creating opportunities. And Hillary's the features editor, so we keep that quiet. She decides who goes on our homepage.
How do I get in contact with you guys?
Just go to blogtalkradio.com, mm-hmm. and you just go there and register.
Register as a host.
Register as a host.
Easy.
It takes 5 minutes. It's free. We provide this service free to everyone. And it's been a great help for many people just promoting themselves and giving them a platform. We have hosts that have sell art, and we're not sophisticated bloggers on here. We have some that are top bloggers, but most of them are just people that started with a blog. They have a MySpace page. They have Facebook pages, and now they have a platform to reach an audience and engage people in conversation. And that's the key. That's what we're focused on here. So, well, that's it. There's not much else required, and you come on and listen to shows.
And you do, and you guys do provide the MP3, right?
Yeah, we provide the MP3, and
so it's not even like they're trying to capture your content. They're, you know, they're providing a great platform, and you get the resulting MP3 that you can use however you want to.
Right, and it's sitting on your site in a flash player. And not only that, we just implemented in December a rev share plan where we're sharing revenue with the host that we're inserting audio ads into our content now.
Awesome.
So we're targeting, you know, big advertisers and people focused on sports or on hip-hop, and we have almost every kind of content you can imagine on the network. So feel free to join in and join, as we say, join the conversation at Blog Talk Radio. So.
All right, Brian, one last thing. I will go to the forum and post on looking for some help. And if you know of anybody, my last name is Ford, F-O-R-D. I'd appreciate your input.
Yeah, just go in there and introduce yourself and say what you're looking for. Every time I've seen someone do that, they've had multiple replies and a lot more in private. So just make sure you put a way for people to contact you privately.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Thanks for calling.
I was saying, when you're getting into the e-learning aspect of it, I wanted to mention that a couple of weeks ago, I got a letter from a professor at the University of Wisconsin in Madison who teaches a course on Blog Talk Radio, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, and she uses it in her classroom as part of the curriculum. So I was very interested to know why. You know, she said, this is just a tool that you know, I want my students to, you know, get used to speaking and formulating their thoughts and ideas and reaching an audience. And so she then approached her dean, and they're interested in thinking about how they could use this remote learning. You know, and this is the interesting thing, and you're getting into e-learning. I think you also have your finger on the pulse of a lot of exciting things that are beginning to emerge in the enterprise world.
Well, when you look at how important educational-based marketing is online, I mean, we're producing content as a promotional strategy. I did a post last week that, you know, content is a new advertising. It is a good advertising tool, but only if you give value to someone else, actually teach them something, and that enhances your own credibility, you know. So all of these tools from, you know, something like Blog Talk Radio to a blog post, a free PDF report or white paper, a video, all of these tools can be used to what's called in e-learning a blended approach. You know, it's not just one format. It's a multimedia format in the truest sense of the word. And I think, you know, getting people hosting these type of calls and allowing people to ask you questions live, I mean, how invaluable is that, you know? Because you can write articles all day long, but people really want to connect with you and ask you a question personally. So,
right.
Definitely.
Yeah, I can see totally why that professor uses the format here as one tool in her curriculum, right?
Right, as one of the tools that they have. And we're talking to publishers as well, where authors can come in. Because, you know, have you written a book? Or it sounds like you should. you know, you write well, and you've got a great story to tell. You've had lots of success, and you've got passion for writing. Is that something that's on the agenda?
That's funny because, you know, I position the Teaching Sales membership, you know, in part on the book is dead, you know.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't see that yet.
Because, well, you know, and that's not true because people like me, I read, you know, an amazing amount. I mean, I would attribute as much of my success to anything as that. But a lot of people don't read, and a lot of people don't have time. And books, you know, books are great because you can take them with you and they're the ultimate portable information source, but you can't just ask the author a question right there in the book, you know. And so there's a lot of amazing things about the internet and the interactivity that it provides, again, such as, you know, being able to use this phone service or just having a private forum where you can contact the author. But yeah, I've been debating actually the whole book angle because a lot of people are encouraging me to do that, and yet I'm not sure that it's the right thing for me because, number one, the people I'm speaking to are all online, so why not just speak directly with them? And number two, you know, writing a book is great for breaking into, you know, corporate consulting or getting on the speaker circuit. Currently, that's not what I want to do. So
right. Maybe.
I'll never say never. But
right.
Someday, maybe.
It does open up. I mean, there's lots of people that aren't
blog,
online yet.
The blogger itself has done everything for me that writing a book generally does for an author. So it's just a different way of approaching it. You know, one way or another, you're trying to build credibility and authority and have people see you as someone worth listening to. Well, nowadays you can do that with the blog, but there's a lot of people who don't read blogs. So I wouldn't discourage someone from also writing a book. It just depends on what your goals are.
So I have another couple of questions, and we'll wrap it up. But I'm on teachingsales.com, very cool site, and I see here that in this quick and easy 22-page report or optional audio recording, you'll learn whether blogging is dead or not, how to avoid the tyranny of Google. I like that. And then why you should forget the long tail. So why should we forget? Maybe you could let us know
It's thriving. No problem. I don't mind that. I've also written about those topics on CopyBlogger kind of in conjunction, but I like the tyranny of Google thing.
Yeah, too. Let's talk about that. Because they certainly, the whole ad
Google,
model is broken.
Google is becoming a force to be reckoned with, and that's, of course, an understatement. But a lot of people online, especially those who are trying to market or make money specifically online, whether it be blogging or whatever, have been kind of, duped into this, give everything away for free and put some AdSense ads on it and you'll be rich, and for some people that's worked, but for most people it hasn't, So the report goes into a lot of reasons why that your current strategy may not be the best one. And then as far as the long tail, that's another, The Long Tail by Chris Anderson, great book, but I don't think everyone, there's two concepts there. The true long tail concept is that aggregators like Amazon and Netflix will sell more stuff along that the skinny end of the tail than they will sell big items, because in the aggregate, all those little things add up to more. Okay, so that's a concept that benefits big companies with incredible distribution networks like Amazon and Netflix. Along the way, the term the long tail of search got coined in the SEO and search engine marketing world, which just means that you'll get all sorts of traffic from little obscure phrases that you would have never targeted, but in the aggregate, it adds up to a lot. Somewhere along the line, people got the idea that I need to start a blog on Bolivian yak farming marketing tactics and give all my content away for free and I'll make money from that. Well, no, you can't, because you're giving it away for free, number one, and number two, there's not a big enough audience to make any money from that low level of interest. So there was another point, which is if you're going to sell specialized information, number one, you probably shouldn't sell to Bolivian yak farmers. Number two, if you're going to have specialized information, you have to sell it. You can't give it away. Even Amazon and Netflix are selling things. They're not giving those things away. So that was kind of the point of why people are have the wrong idea about the long tail.
Well, we do have a concept here of the long tail in the sense that this content that's been produced over the last year is available to be listened to, and by thousands of hosts, and these widgets are all over the place. And
yeah,
we do have our top shows, but
Blog Talk Radio is an aggregator of content, right?
Right. It's an aggregator of content.
Just
that
like
really
E-Pod
does leverage.
Media is a blog network that's an aggregator of blogs. So each of those individual blogs doesn't make a huge amount of money, but in the aggregate they do. So
right.
The long tail is about aggregation, and I think some people miss that to their detriment, and they wonder why they're not succeeding with their ultra niche topic.
Right. Well, I think in blogging in general, a lot of people were of the view that they're going to have some sort of economic livelihood from blogging, and of course, as you know, it's just not there. And that one may argue that could limit the growth. I don't know. I mean, I know it's growing and it's doing well. What's your view of the long range of blog, or let's say not long range, but at least the medium term?
Well, my philosophy is, in the late 90s when I was doing the email thing, I was, as I mentioned, just as fascinated with the concept of making money from advertising as anyone. I learned back there then, though, that, selling advertising is hard. You're still selling something.
Mm-hmm.
You're selling the space that you have available, and that takes resources and takes work just to get people to buy that space. Then AdSense came along, and Google said, hey, you don't have to do anything. Just plug this in here, and you've got instant ads. And that kind of started this huge shift where all these people figured, I'm going to get rich off of, blogging and AdSense. And it's an attractive fantasy, right? But that doesn't mean it's real. So I think the biggest growth in blogging will be, you know, in small business blogging, as I'll call it, which is basically any company that has something to sell can get a huge amount of benefit out of blogging, you know, whether it be consulting services or software or a product or information, membership site, whatever. If you have something to sell, great. You can put free content out there that acts as an attraction strategy, and then you can make money because you've built trust with people and you've built traffic to your offer. But as far as blogging for advertising, that's a tough game. It really is, and I think you'll see a lot of people kind of give up. They'll either adapt or they'll give up.
Right, I fully agree. Well, Brian, it's been a great time. It's time has flown, and thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I think we've learned a lot. Yeah, definitely. It was a great show, and we hope to learn more about teaching sales. Maybe we'll see more of you on our network. We'd love to do some things with you. We have some great products, too, that's not part of Blog Talk Radio, which is free, but actually that people pay for, which is taking our platform and incorporating into all kinds of places that you may find interesting. So maybe I can give you a call and we could chat about that. I would definitely like to do that.
I 2007 was a blur, so I need to get caught up on what you guys are doing.
Okay, well, we'd love to. I know our audience loved it. So once again, Brian Clark, thank you for joining us on my show on Blog Talk Radio today.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Brian. Nice to meet you, too.
Bye, Hillary.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Brian Clark, and, you know, great interview. Hillary, he really knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was highly informative, and I can tell a lot of our chat room friends probably came over from CopyBlogger, so I'm sure they enjoyed hearing him discuss some of the things he writes about in a live interactive format, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And, again, Brian was on a show early on in 2007 and probably in the March time frame, if I remember, and it was very early at Blog Talk Radio. And he came on, and so we were very excited to have him on today. It was great, great show.
Yeah, great show. If you guys are in the chat room and you missed the beginning, you know, you can hear the archive and hear all the great things Brian was talking about at the beginning.
All right, and we'll send the MP3 or the show page to Brian, and maybe he probably tires of listening to himself. Maybe his mom or family or wife. My wife wants nothing to do with my shows, so that's...
She's sick of hearing about it, huh?
She's sick. She's sick of hearing about it. So,
well, I'm not sick of hearing about it, so that's good.
No. So anyway, so also for our listeners, we'd like you to tune in to Yoko Ono and John Voight. When is John Voight coming on?
John Voight is on tonight, actually. It's on our homepage, and he's going to be on a show called Kicking the Anthill, which is a new show. And it's going to be on tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, so check that out.
Kicking the Anthill. What? That is just, like, where'd that come from?
Seems to be they want to be controversial and kick the anthill and get the ants scurrying around. That's my impression.
And John Voight, who's, of course, his daughter is quite famous.
Oh, yeah, Angelina Jolie. And so I don't know if they'll be asking him about that. Probably will be more focused on National Treasure, which is out right now, National Treasure Book of Secrets.
Right. Well, he's been in so many movies and
He's an incredible actor.
I think we're going to save Angelina for Sweeps Week or Sweeps Month of May. But actually, we don't even qualify for Sweeps. Oh well.
We can do sweeps whenever we want.
Right,
better.
We can do sweeps. We had Brad Pitt on, so now I'm going to, you know, she's into charitable endeavors, so we're going to reach out. You know what we'll do? We'll send her publicist. Well, she doesn't get along with her dad. We can't work that
one. No, we can't send her that one. We'll keep that one secret.
Well, we could maybe send her Brad Pitt's interview, too, so that one will work.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you know, in fact, Ryan Clark, on our homepage, we'll have to let him know that he is next to Miss America 2007, the beauty queen, Lauren Nelson. So.
Yep. Well, it's been a great show.
Yes, very much. And thanks, everyone, for joining us. We'll be back next week with some more shows from on the Alan Levy Show. And so thank you again. And, Hill, you want to close it out?
I'll close it out. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Thanks for joining Alan and Hillary on the Alan Levy Show. Make sure to join the conversation by calling 347-677-0649 and listen to The Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio.